Who better to discuss them with? My friend Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, and no longer writes. But the Pick Six podcast is there for you. Does it take less time to do them when you only have two games, Will Brinson?
It should, but sometimes it doesn't. it depends on what happens to the games, right? Like, the Chiefs and Bengals game was fantastic. There were a lot of questionable officiating situations that occurred in that one. Of course, people at college are like, we don't want to hear about the officials. It's like, look, man, I don't have to tell you there's like eight trending topics on Twitter. Like the eight top trending topics on Twitter right now are like NFL rigged, NFL refs. Thanks, NFL. I can't believe we're going to talk about it. Spent a lot less time, obviously, on Eagles and 49ers just because of the nature of that game. But, I'm pretty good at stretching the amount of time that, I can stretch it out a little bit if need be.
Here's the thing about the officiating in the Cincinnati-Kansas City game that, at least the way it sticks with me, and I am one to not really give credence to, I know officiating manages the game or it can really impact the outcome of a game. In general, I believe that teams don't necessarily lose games because of the officials. They lose games of their own volition. And I think the number one factor in the game last night was Kansas City's defense, not the officiating in this game. But the Bengals got the wrong side of the coin on basically every questionable call. All of them, including, like, this is a subtle one. It was a fourth down that they ruled, it would have been fourth down, I guess. They ruled, or maybe it was fourth down, and they ruled he was short of the line to gain. And then they went back and looked at it, and the only view that showed that he got a first down was an off angle. The only angle right down the line looked like he was probably short, and they still gave them the first down.
Well, in that particular instance, you're referring to hashtag Pac Pro Marcus Valdes-Scantling,
right?
Who
had a great game.
Had a huge. I mean, like, and look, I by and large agree with you that, like, players win the games. You can, regardless of officiating, what happens with certain officiating stuff, for the most part, certain teams, the teams win the game, the players win the game. But in this case, too, that MVS realizes how that he's short. It's a really risky and aggressive move. He holds the ball out before he's down on the ground, stretching out for the first down. But then, and I'm pretty sure the rule book states it just like this, if you voluntarily retract the ball, it's not where your forward progress was. So like if you extend your hand like that where he was, and then you voluntarily retract it, it's where the ball is when your knee hits the ground. So not only do they spot it, they actually spotted it correctly the first time, and then went back and reviewed it and misinterpreted the rule. And I guess that's sort of my beef with the officiating. I don't do a very good job, but I try not to complain about it on the podcast too much or on radio stuff. But it's like the NFL is a $14 billion business. They have, like in the Eagles and 49ers game, Devontae Smith catches a ball down the sideline. It appears an incredible catch on fourth and three, and when Nick Sirianni and the Eagles decided to go for it. But unbeknownst to literally everyone on planet Earth, because the replay wasn't shown, including the people with Fox, because in the broadcast booth, the replay wasn't even shown until they went to commercial break. This ball clearly hit the ground.
Yeah.
Now Devontae Smith does a signal where you make a catch like that. Usually you celebrate if you know it hit the ground. Sometimes you can see it. He pounds his two fists together and he starts telling everybody to hurry up and run a play. The Eagles sprint up there. They run a play. Kyle Shanahan doesn't get his challenge flag out, but it would have been difficult for, and like I mentioned in our Slack and maybe off the text message, I was like, is it the ball was loose? Because you could kind of see it moving a little bit from one angle, which would have prompted me at that point in time, given that it was fourth and three, it's the NFC Championship game, you would get the ball back around midfield versus the Eagles having a first and goal. I think I'm throwing the challenge flag anyway, but there wasn't a great replay for Kyle's guys to say you should do this. However, the NFL, in theory, has like all kinds of feeds in the control room. It surely somebody at the NFL, before the Eagles could run another play, saw that ball hit the ground. And if not, what are we doing? Like that's because they have this replay assist to correct obvious mistakes. And while that wasn't an obvious mistake by an official, because it was difficult to see,
right,
it is clearly like it was one of the two or three biggest plays of the entire game. Like, that was worth, you know, I went and looked at the advanced stats. That play was a bigger win percentage swing and a bigger expected points added than Christian McCaffrey's 23-yard touchdown that tied the game up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like, that, you know, and so it just bothers me that there is the lack of consistency with which the NFL manages these replays and manages the officiating and all of that, and the lack of transparency. They don't want to admit that the officials make mistakes, even though we all know they do.
My gosh.
It's not a conspiracy. It's incompetence. And it just sort of bugs me.
I mean, they've already told us that officials make mistakes because we have instant replay. That's right, inherent. Right. If the officials got them all right, we wouldn't need instant replay in any sport. All right, so wait a second. So did I just learn something that the NFL could have overturned that call on their own without Kyle Shanahan? Because Kyle Shanahan said after the game that I didn't want to throw my flag because the only replay that he saw looked like a catch and he didn't feel like throwing a timeout away, which maybe they should have done anyway. But
he should have done it, but yes. But the NFL, this is, again, the replay assist, which got instituted sometime in the middle of last year without any formal announcement any explanation of the guidelines of when it would be used. And nobody really knew what it was called until Mike Tirico was like, that's the replay assist we've been told about on the NBC broadcast, playoff broadcast between the Bengals and the Raiders last year. It was like, excuse me, what? Is this the name of it? Okay, that's interesting. No, internally, I'm sure there's stuff that's been bandied about. But what happens is when a mistake is made by the officials, and they did do it once yesterday, I'm trying to think exactly what it was, they will come back and say, after a conversation on the field, but it's like they haven't huddled up.
On a spotted ball. They did it on a spotted ball.
That's right. They did it with the spotted ball. They say after a conversation on the field. There's no conversation on the field. Somebody in New York is buzzing into their ear saying, "Hey, this is messed up." But they don't want it to be. They don't want it to look like they're being overturned by an eye in the sky. They want it to look like, you know, we huddled up and figured it out, because they don't want they're the ham-fisted organization that doesn't want it to look like it's bad PR, even though trying to like cover up the mistakes is even worse PR than just being like, you know what, there's like six old dudes out there running around trying to keep up these like, you know, high level athletes and spot the ball with their eyes from 50 yards away. Sometimes it doesn't work out perfectly. Like it's okay. They make mistakes.
You know, it's the last time I heard of the NFL changing a rule midstream was in week 18 when they decided to ignore the rule that they put in place for canceled games due to COVID simply by using winning percentage as the general backup rule. They decided now that they weren't going to use winning percentage, that they were going to basically jerry-rig the way they did the standings just in case it was Buffalo, Kansas City. We would have that at a neutral site. Real quick before we break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about a little bit more of both games. Do you think that we are headed in the near future to neutral site conference championship games?
I hate even thinking about it. It's so gross to think about. It would not surprise me at all. You know, look at college football, right? They're like, okay, we love tradition, and that's why we do. And they're like, oh wait, we can make more money. They're not expanding the playoffs for the good of the fan. You know, it's anything that they're doing is like for money, right? As long as we know that, it's fine. And I think they're fairly kind of transparent about it. But yeah, I don't think that that's an outrageous possibility in the future. It's an outrageous possibility in the sense of like, if you do that, it's terrible. It's not an outrageous possibility in the sense of like, it would not surprise me if the NFL decided that it could, you could showcase your stadium. They only get to showcase one stadium per year. There's a whole process for applying for the Super Bowl. They do it like 5 years in advance for the location. If you build a new stadium, you get the benefit of it. It would not surprise me at all if they said, you know what, a neutral site game would be, a really cool thing. Now, I think if they do that, the problem is if you do that, you are you've created a 17 playoff, right? You've expanded the playoffs to the point where there's only one team that gets a bye, and then they get home field advantage throughout. Well, you are, you know, if you want to, you want to reward the number one seed. I mean, you are really taken away from the one seed.
Yep.
If you know, let's say like the Tennessee Titans get the one seed, right, and they end up having to play the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, which I think actually happened. But maybe they were the one seed, but you get the point.
Yeah.
And instead of hosting in Nashville and getting all, like, the Titans fans are not going to travel the same way the Chiefs fans travel. Or they host the Bills and they have to go to, like, it's already been decided ahead of time that the neutral site stadium is going to be in the Meadowlands for whatever reason, right? Well, all of a sudden, you know, I think you just run the risk of taking away the competitive advantage that you were trying to reward the number one seed with by moving the, you know, because like it's in LA, right? And, you know, there's just so many different issues with it where you're asking these fans to travel for a championship game instead of saying, all right, you get a home. I hate the idea.
How about just looking at it from a fan perspective? I mean, there's a competitive perspective too. But how about a team's fans that invest the entire season, right, wouldn't be able to, like, go to their own stadium for a conference championship game? You'd have to send the Bills to Arizona? Are we joking?
Yeah, and let's not forget too that when you know and look, like, again, from a fan perspective, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, you know, the Chiefs just made the Super Bowl. You now have everyone from Kansas City who, you know, could have done it ahead of time. You could have run the risk and, you know, got, like, refundable tickets or refundable hotel rooms or whatever. But now, you have 2 weeks to get your travel together to get to Arizona. It's going to be expensive no matter what. It's
right.
Super Bowl. Hotels are like $1,000 a night. But, you know, you can put it all together, and it's an exciting time. It would be really tough to pull off if you're, let's say you travel on the road for a couple playoff games, and now you got to – it's just jamming the fans for more exposure and dollars, and I can't stand the idea.
And that's why the NFL will definitely do it. All right, we'll go.
Certainly try to cast it out somewhere in the near future. I do think, though, that you got to remember, you know, something like this, in order for it to happen, would have to pass through, you know, an owner's vote. And, you know, when you talk about doing that, yeah, you could grow the pie a little bit, but you would also be – you know, if you're like Clark, you know, if you're Clark Hunt, you're like, nah, I'm not voting for that. You're not saying that. I was a safety championship game every year.
I would wager right now that they get the requisite votes to do that.
I don't think it would happen for like 5 years, personally.
But five whole years. That's not that long a time. It will happen. All right, we'll come back. Apparently, Steve Wilks is not the only Carolina head coaching finalist to be looking for a job. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast moderator, joins us. You leave for the Super Bowl when? Next Sunday?
Yeah, next Sunday afternoon, I believe. I don't know what time. I'll find out later.
That's fine. You don't need to know right now if you leave next Sunday. All right, let me first of all, before we get to the game and anything else about this past weekend of football, your level of shock, mine was pretty low, that Kellen Moore, like Steve Wilks, needs to find a job. Dallas Cowboys let their offensive coordinator wunderkid go.
Yeah, I mean, one, it's hilarious that he was like one of the Panthers finalists.
Interesting. Yes, I agree.
It's like two of the three finalists. All three of the Carolina Panthers finalists, including the guy they hired, got fired during the 2022 season or right afterwards, which is amazing. Like, even the guy they hired already got fired in the middle of the season. That's, you know, whatever. I find that amusing about David Tepper's interview process. Anywho, I'm not that shocked. You know, I think when Mike McCarthy took over the Cowboys job, he didn't want to keep Kellen Moore, but Jerry Jones really liked Kellen Moore. They played mm-hmm. He was a backup quarterback there. He had helped, you know, sort of get Dak, you know, he'd been working with Dak and they wanted to try to keep some continuity. Mike McCarthy had only not called plays, I think, for 1 year with the Packers, gave it up, didn't work great, and then he vowed never to do it again. So the fact that he'd been letting Kellen Moore call plays these past few years has frankly been pretty surprising. And, Jerry says he wants Mike McCarthy to coach as long as, Tom Landry, which
– right. Okay,
sure, that doesn't happen in the modern NFL, but whatever. And I think, you know, he can say all that he wants. He can prop up Mike McCarthy all he wants. But when Mike McCarthy lets go of, I think, six coaches initially and then later fires Kellen Moore, I mean, it tells you that as much as the Cowboys have had success on offense the last few years, and they have, and they've, won a lot of games the last 2 years, it's clear that, and this is how it works with a lot of teams, but the Cowboys in particular, with Jerry Jones and his impatience and desperation to get one more Super Bowl at least, when you have the Eagles, who are now in their going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 5 years, after completely retooling it, there's like two different head coaches, two different starting quarterbacks, a whole different setup. Like, they built through the draft, they added all these pieces, they get this new coach who gets them to the Super Bowl. It's like there's that, and then you have the Giants, they get to the playoffs, that they lose and get blown out, but they mm-hmm. still get there. There's just all these factors that go into, as much as Mike McCarthy's regular season was a good year, especially with Dak being hurt, that Jerry Jones is, wants to see more, just wants to see that next step in playoff success. And I think that's where you get that internal pressure, and that's why you see the change there at the offensive coordinator position. I think Mike McCarthy's going to call plays. He'll play the offensive coordinator.
He is going to call plays. Here's the thing about Kellen Moore, and this is a fireable offense to me. Did you design that final play? Because if the answer is yes, that it was your decision, then yeah, you got to go. Because I don't even know what that was about.
I mean, it sucks that that's like the final play of his Cowboys coaching career. But it does look like he could be a possibility for the Chargers job. And I just realized I used up all the time.
No, it's fine.
Time he had before the-
we have one more minute. Your early thoughts on Super Bowl, what is this, 57? Your early thought, whatever the number is. Early thoughts on the Super Bowl.
Awesome matchup with a lot of storylines. The two number one seeds, the two best teams in football for much of the year. Really, the two teams that we debated, which one, are these the best teams in football? You have Andy Reid against the Eagles, which is not a thing that we thought we'd ever see. You have the Kelce brothers going off against each other. You have a whole host of different storylines. I think the point spread will be really fascinating too, because it opened at KC minus one, got up to KC minus two, and like within an hour of the game, the Chiefs game ending, it was already like Eagles minus 2.5. And so we're going to see that thing ping pong around and bounce around a bunch. And that's kind of interesting to me from watching where's the money going and who's betting on who. You have both the quarterbacks, Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, have dealt with injuries late in the year. Like, how much is that going to affect the spread? How much will that affect the game? I think it'll be an awesome, awesome Super Bowl. I'm very excited for it.
I am as well. Apparently there were like 24 bets in the first half hour of taking the Eagles at more than $10,000. So that flipped the line almost immediately. Will Brinson, we'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Yep.